Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, devotees, we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, chapter entitled Understanding Material Nature. And we're reading today verse 17. Devahutir uvacha purusham prakritir brahman na vimunchati karichet anyon Yapashrayat Vach Cha Nityat Vad Anayo Prabho. Close the door, please. All right. Devahutiru Vacha Purusham Prakritir Brahman Navimunchati Karhichet Anyonya Pashrayat Vachcha Nityadvadanayo Prabho Devahutiru Vacha Purusham Prakritir Brahman Navibunchati Karhichet Anyonya Pashrayat Vachcha Nityatvadanayo Prabho Devahutiru Vacha Purusham Prakritir Brahman Navibunchati Karhichet Anyonya Pashrayat Vachcha Nityatvadanayo Prabho.
Devahutiru Vacha
Devahutiru Vacha
Purusham Prakritir Brahman
Purusham Prakritir Brahman
Navimuntati Karhite
Navimuntati Karhite
Anyonya Pasarayat Vacha
Anyonya Pasarayat Vacha
Nityatvat Anayo Prabhu
Nityatvat Anayo Prabhu Devahutiru Vacha
Devahutiru Vacha
Purusham Prakritir Brahman
Purusham Prakritir Brahman
Navimunchati Karhichet
Navimunchati Karhichet
Anyonya Pashrayat Vachcha
Anyonya Pashrayat Vachcha
Nityatvadhanayo Prabhu
Nityatvadhanayo Prabhu
Devahutiru Vacha
Devahutiru Vacha
Purusham
Prakritir Brahman
Navimunchati
Karhichet
Anyonya
Pashrayat Vachcha Nityatvadanayo Prabho Devahuti Uvacha
Devahuti said
Purusham,
the spirit soul.
The spirit soul.
Excuse me. Prakriti,
material nature.
Brahman,
O Brahman.
Na, not. vimunchate, does release, karhichet, at any time, anyonya, to one another, apashrayatvat, from attraction, cha, and nityatvat, from eternality, anayo, of them both, prabho, O my Lord. Sri Devahuti inquired, My dear Brahman, does material nature ever give release to the spirit soul, since one is attracted to the other eternally? How is their separation possible? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devahuti, the mother of Kapila Dev, here makes her first inquiry. Although one may understand that spirit, soul, and matter are different, their actual separation is not possible, either by philosophical speculation or by proper understanding. The spirit soul is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, and matter is the external potency of the Lord. The two eternal potencies have somehow or other been combined. And since it is so difficult to separate one from the other, how is it possible for the individual soul to become liberated? By practical experience, one can see that when the soul is separated from the body has no real existence. And when the body is separated from the soul, one cannot perceive the existence of the soul. As long as the soul and the body are combined, we can understand that there is life. But when they are separated, there is no manifested existence of the body or the soul. This question asked by Devahuti of Kapila Dev is more or less impelled by the philosophy of voidism. The voidists say that consciousness is a product of a combination of matter, and that as soon as the consciousness is gone, the material combination dissolves, and therefore there is ultimately nothing but voidness. This absence of consciousness is called nirvana in Mayavad philosophy. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Presta Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swananiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastityade Jitarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Devahutir uvacha. Purusham prakritir brahman. Na vimunchati karhi chit. Anyonya pashrayat vach cha nityadvad anayo prabho. Sri Devahuti inquired, My dear Brahman, does material nature ever give release to the spirit soul? since one is attracted to the other eternally, how is there separation possible? Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Oh, yes. Increase the volume. Let's see. Yes, I can. Well, I think I can. I sort of stopping the class for a few minutes. Alright, I've increased the volume. We'll just see how, what they think of it. If it's alright, if it's louder than it was. Alright. Hare Krishna. So, devotees, Lord Kapila is continuing his quite in-depth description of the entanglement of the conditioned soul in material nature, and you could say the prospects for disentanglement, the prospects for freeing the conditioned soul, yes, different prospects, how they may work or not work, and what may or may not be done. So here, of course, Lord Kapila is introducing a very interesting perspective on the situation. It's a very interesting and important perspective, actually, that the attraction, or just say the relationship, which includes attraction, between the spirit soul and the material nature, it's more or less eternal. We talk of the conditioned souls as being nitya badha, eternally conditioned. Srila Prabhupada does explain on a number of occasions that it's not literally eternal. But the thing is, it's so long. It is just simply so long that we use the term eternal. It's just, it's beyond any possibility of trying to make anything at all like a meaningful calculation that, you know, approximately X number of years, it's just that possibility does not exist. Among other things, because time as we know it, when every universal destruction takes place, time as we know it stops, and it only restarts, so to speak, later, according to a different calculation of time, a spiritual calculation of time, or not even calculation, but just a different manifestation of time. But then later, according to that different type of time, time as we know it starts again. The Kala Shakti is injected into material nature by Mahavishnu. Yes, so for this reason and other related reasons, the conditioned state of the living entity, the spirit soul, is referred to oftentimes maybe generally, at the very least, oftentimes, as being eternal. Therefore, Lord Kapila says here that the spirit, soul, and material nature are attracted to one another eternally. Yes. Attracted eternally. The relationship is being going on eternally in the terms we mentioned. So, seeing that's the case, how is it possible to separate them? How is it possible? It's just the relationship is too deeply ingrained, too deeply established to just stand up and say, okay, we are just going, goodbye, and that's it. We're now finished with material nature. We exit material nature. It's not so easy. It's like trying to exit a prison house. You can't just, when you feel like it, you can't just stand up and say, well, I'm going, see you later. Because there's a greater condition which you are subject to, the condition of being imprisoned. Or, I could just mention that Srila Jiva Goswami mentions amongst his commentaries in the later parts of Tattvasandarbha, he mentions that the same point actually, but with giving a little different example, that he says that the Mayavadis say that our relationship with material nature is simply unnatural, and we just have to just tell ourselves, oh, it's unnatural, and then we just get out of it, just like that. Just by saying that it's unnatural, we just get out of it. Just like some children, or maybe many children, when they're young, sometimes they get different fears, like unnatural, unnecessary, and just foolish, childish fears, like there's someone under my bed. I don't know if you've heard of that one. I've heard of that one. You know, that there's someone under my bed, and they just become afraid. But then what to do? What you do, apparently, is you just tell them, listen, there's no one under your bed. Just don't worry. And by the sort of almost shock treatment, they accept, okay, and they stop being frightened. So Srila Jiva Goswami gives this example. I mean, he says the Mayavadis give the example that the relationship between the conditioned soul and material nature, it's just an illusion. Illusion to the point it doesn't even exist. So all you got to do is tell yourself, listen, I'm not part of it. And that's it. You've pulled out of material existence. But we see it doesn't work. Because the Mayavadis, even if or when they actually try to do that, and they do try to just tell themselves and just cut off their connection with material nature, just like bang. But then they go back to material life. As Prabhupada explains on a number of occasions, they often go back to some sort of material pious activity which has nothing to do, really, with their actual philosophy of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, that Brahman, the one Brahman, which is all one, is truth, and Jagan, this world, is false, to the point that it even doesn't actually exist. And if something doesn't exist, well, you know, what's the question of being affected by something non-existent? It's just a crazy type of illusion. So Srila Jiva Goswami, in discussing this then, he says that actually the conditioned souls are entangled. It is not just a non-existent hallucination which is non-existent. They are actually entangled in material nature. They have material bodies which they're attached to. They are attached to the material world. And he says, this attempt to just sort of, you could say, disqualify the material nature. It's just out. It's just not there. And you just become, you just merge just like that, just because. He says this is something like a person who has some serious illness, some really serious sickness, you know, some, I don't know. So they're hospitalized, they're in a bed. Maybe they're physically unable to get out of the bed. You know, if their bodies are covered in plaster, if they've been in an accident, or, you know, maybe like this COVID. I was speaking to a couple of devotees day before yesterday who have COVID, and they both said, well, one is getting over, and he said when it was really bad, he literally couldn't get up. Literally couldn't. And the other one who has it, who's sort of at the peak right now, told me the day before yesterday, you know, he's not an elderly man like me who you might expect to become incapacitated. He's young. Sort of, plus or minus 50. That's relatively young. But he's saying that he's there, he's in the hospital, and he actually can't move. Can't. It's not possible. So Srila Jiva Goswami says that the situation of the conditioned soul is like that. A person who is really extremely ill, to the point they literally, if they try to stand up, they will simply fall over. So he says that if you tell such a person that, come on, it's just in your mind, stand up, and they try, they'll fall over, because it's not just in their mind, it's a reality. Yes, so like this, this is the difference here. Prabhupada, towards the end of the purport, talks about, you know, one or two even theories, you could say, or at least one, of the Mayavadis, the voidists, that it's just, all you got to do is realize that you don't exist. And then everything's fine. Everything's just fantastic, and that's perfection. But actually, as Lord Kapila is saying, we are in the material world. And we do have these material bodies, and we have had material bodies for a very long time, as we said at the beginning. Basically, effectively, you could say, effectively, eternally. And as a result, there's the question. The question which he raises, how is it possible to just extract yourself? How's it possible? And the answer to the question is, it's not. That's what Prabhupada says. There's an interesting perspective on the situation in Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, verse 5. It's a very important chapter, and it's a very important verse. Let me just read it. Klesho di kataraste sham avyakta asakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukam deha vadbir avapyate. A verse which is really worth learning. Which means, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. And the point is, particularly, in the regard to what we've been saying, and perhaps in general, but definitely in regard to what we're saying, the point is that to make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. And Prabhupada in the purport says the individual soul is embodied since time immemorial. It is very difficult for him to simply theoretically understand that he's not the body. And therefore, anyway, Prabhupada goes on to a discussion about engaging in practical service, particularly deity worship. So the fact that we are embodied for so long makes it difficult for us to accept a process the foundation of which is the idea that we're not embodied. And we've got nothing to do with this embodied situation and the material world. The fact that we've been embodied so long means that practically, naturally, it's extremely difficult to really accept and become absorbed deeply in some impersonal process. And the impersonal conclusion, which is jagan mitya, or in other words, this world is so false it doesn't exist. And in fact, I'm so false that I don't exist also. When you've been existing like this, it's an illusory situation, of course, because we're not these bodies. But we are spirit souls. But we've been existing in this merged condition, embodied souls, for so long that, as the Lord says in that verse which we just read here, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, verse 5, it is always the impersonal, any impersonal process, there are few, of course. It's always difficult for those who are embodied. You know, there's the point of habit, this point we've just been making. We're habituated to being embodied. But then beyond that, Prabhupada goes on to explain that not only are we just habituated to it, it's just second nature. We can't conceive of anything other than being embodied. Not only that, but on top of that, it's completely unnatural anyway. The impersonal type of position is an unnatural position anyway. So this is another serious problem. Trying to push a square peg into a round hole, if you know that idea. You know, you can sort of try to sort of press it in on an angle and kind of partially get it a little in, but it's not in. So these points are there. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, and this is now what we can take away in terms of practical application for ourselves. Therefore, Krishna consciousness always involves engaging the material body in devotional service. It always involves that. Of course, the philosophy is there that we're not this body, and we definitely need to remember that and remind ourselves about that and be conscious of it and not just get caught up in the simple identification with the body. But still we have to wholeheartedly engage the body. That's the process. That is the process. We have to engage the body, you could say 24 hours a day, or at least full time, fully engage the body, engage the mind, the subtle body. We have to be fully engaged in devotional service. And even though in the beginning, when we're fully engaged in devotional service, the concept, the philosophy that we're not this body and why we're not this body and how we're not this body, it tends to be at least somewhat theoretical. And we may not literally see the soul ourselves within the body. We may not actually perceive directly. But by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he sees us that we're at least in principle philosophically accepting this point and we take it to heart that this is really what we are, and then we engage in the way of life of the spirit soul, Jivera Surupaya Krishnera Nityadas, we engage as eternal servants of the Lord. Krishna gives us mercy, and we are therefore able to continue on rendering devotional service, engaging both the gross and subtle bodies in devotional service, and we can maintain our situation and progress. And then gradually, as time goes on, the realization of how we're not this body, realization of how we are actually the eternal servants of Krishna, spirit souls, gradually becomes clearer. As one practices devotional service, and among other things, well, it's a very important thing, actually, a very important part of the process of progressing and developing realization in Krishna consciousness. Very important part is that if or when we do engage fully in devotional service, fully in Krishna consciousness, physically fully engaged, philosophically accepting, and meditating like that, with mind, intelligence, and our sense of self absorbed in Krishna consciousness in that way, then we experience the higher taste, as Lord Krishna discusses in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'm sure you're all very familiar with that famous verse about acquiring the higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva navartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So the materialists, of course, they're engaging their senses, their minds, their gross and subtle bodies in their material activities, and they're not becoming satisfied. As Krishna says, the taste for sense enjoyments remains. Even when they get some, what they consider nice enjoyment, but they don't become satisfied. The taste goes away. Then they start chasing it again. They may or may not get it. So, but the devotees, when they engage wholeheartedly in devotional service, by the mercy of Krishna, and through the connection, connecting the senses and the mind with the Lord in service, then the higher taste comes. One becomes extremely pleased, and increasingly so. And as that happens, one appreciates this is a reality. Krishna consciousness actually works. Yeah. It's very important. It's essential to at least get some realization of how Krishna consciousness is true by engaging fully in devotional service and in that way getting a higher taste. And then when you get the higher taste, the mind is no longer looking around, where will I find a taste? The mind becomes convinced, this is where I'll get the taste that I really like. This is where I'll get the best taste of all, better than the other tastes of intoxication, illicit sex life, meat eating, gambling, and the whole way of life connected with those activities. The devotee becomes convinced through practical experience that actually it's true. And the mind becomes attached. Yes, this is where the nectar is. I want to keep engaged. Because even if it's just a matter of, I just want to keep getting the nectar. Of course, better is to understand the principle that it's because I'm engaged in service, therefore I have to keep the service attitude and not allow myself to become distracted and like that. Keep engaged in devotional service. But this practical realization, practical experience, is basically invaluable. You cannot calculate the value. It's too valuable. The value of the experience of the higher taste through being engaged in devotional service. And then one really progresses. Once a devotee starts to taste the higher taste more and more, then progress, then Krishna consciousness becomes easier and easier, because the mind becomes more enthusiastic to be engaged in it and loses interest in being materially engaged. And then one can more speedily advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's the point here. How are we going to separate body and soul in some impersonal way just by force, even though this great long-term attraction and attachment is there? How are we going to? Not through doing it like that, but through this process of engaging the lower nature in higher activity and getting the higher taste. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.